Today we'll start our exposition of the book of Hebrews. I've named this series, Don't Settle for Less When You Can Have the Best. Well, we often hear the saying, close enough for government work. And we associate that with work that is shoddy or substandard. That wasn't really the original meaning of the term. Originally, the saying came out of World War II, and it meant that something could actually pass the most rigorous of standards. But as Christians, so often we settle for something quite substandard, instead of really desiring the very, very best. I'm reminded of our return trip from the States at the end of last summer. When traveling, we normally catch military flight because it's free, and I'm a retired military vet. And we were in California for 17 days before we could catch a military flight. Well, the Air Force terminal was packed with people trying to get back to the Pacific. The influx of people was because school was getting ready to start. And so parents were trying to get their kids back home after the summer break. Also, there had been a typhoon scare in Hawaii, and it sort of shut down the airflow for several days. Well, these two things had left a tremendous impact at Travis Air Force Base with several hundred people stranded. And, you know, as a retiree, you're the very lowest priority to get on one of those free flights. And finally, after 17 days in California, they had several planes that were scheduled to leave, one right after another. Now, two of those planes are very large, and they could fit a lot of people on them. But at the same time, this particular plane is also very uncomfortable, and it is slow and unreliable. Well, several people had given up on trying to catch the free flights, and it went ahead and purchased commercial airfare, but there was still 146 passengers trying to get out that morning. Well, we all stood around the monitors and watched as they called out our names, and the first large plane took 73 passengers and really filled up fast. Well, they started doing the roll call for the next large plane. And I could see from the list that it was going to be really close. But there again, there was a third plane, and that third plane was smaller, it was faster, it was more comfortable, it was more reliable. That third plane was better. Well, I had a friend that I was stationed with in Guam that was also at that terminal in California, and he had been waiting for 20 days to get on a flight. Well, he got manifested on that second flight. And as I was watching the list diminish, I went up to the service counter and I asked the attendant to call the flight line and verify that that third plane was leaving. And he did. And he told me that the plane was going to leave and it was going to leave on time. Well, my wife and I and our daughter, we were the last ones on the list. And they finally called our name to put us on that second flight. But I told them, I'm going to pass. Well, the person that knew me from Guam quickly came over and he said, Rick, you need to get on that plane. And I told him, I'm going to wait for the next plane. You know, that plane that was smaller, faster, more reliable, and better. Well, they closed the flight for the second plane and they opened the manifest for the third plane. And as soon as they manifested the Holdens, they whisked us off to get on that plane. They said, there's no reason to wait around because there's just the three of you. We can just throw your bags on the plane and we can go ahead and leave. Well, I could tell that the other passengers were not happy to see that we were able to leave so quickly, and they began to complain. And they asked the attendant to unmanifest them from their flight and to manifest them on the flight that I was on. Because the flight I was on had 40 empty seats, and there again, it was smaller, faster, more reliable, and better. Well, the terminal workers told the people, no, we're not going to unmanifest you off the second plane and put you on the third plane. And so they whisked us off, and we got on the plane, and we quickly left, and we had a very comfortable flight to Hawaii, and we arrived several hours before the other planes. And we had the whole plane to ourselves. Well, the point is, we didn't settle for less when we could have the best. And that really seems to be the resounding message throughout the book of Hebrews. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Now, this is just an introduction today, and I just want to touch on a few areas. Namely, I want to talk to you about the who, the when, the what, and the where. Well, first let's talk about the who. Who was this book written to? Well, the book was written to three types of people. First, there was the Hebrew Christians. They had been evangelized, and they had received Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives, and so they had had that born-again experience. But over time, and the persecution from family and friends and neighbors, and also their longing to be part of the temple and the priests and the altars and all of that, they began to miss it, and they began to sense the tremendous pressure of the persecution. And they began to think that maybe they would go back into Judaism. And the Holy Spirit is prompting them and telling them, don't settle for less when you can have the best. Jesus is better. And so the Holy Spirit is very active in helping us to see things more clearly. Well, everything is better with Jesus. And everything is better with Christianity. Christianity brought them a new priesthood, a new temple, a new sacrifice, a new sanctuary. Everything was new and better. And so the first group were persecuted Hebrew Christians. Well, there was also a second group. And the second group were persecuted Hebrew non-Christians. And the Hebrew non-Christians came to the church, they attended the services, they participated in worship, they were intellectually convinced that Jesus was indeed the Christ, but they never received Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Well, even today, we have churches that are filled with people like that. Christianity to them is not defined as a relationship, but it is more of a record of attendance. They don't have a relationship. What they have is a religious checklist. And if they do the checklist each week, they feel good enough about themselves to get through another week. Well, they really have a false sense of security because of their works. But the fact is, they were never born again. And then there was a third group. And the third group were Hebrew non-Christians who did not attend the church. And this particular group was not intellectually convinced that Jesus was the Christ. Well, the book of Hebrews shows the beauty of the all-sufficient Holy Spirit. He reaches out to the Christians and he strengthens their faith. But at the same time, he reaches out to those who are intellectually convinced that Jesus is the Christ, but yet they are not committed to Christ. And he leads them to faith. And at the same time, he reaches out to those who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he gives them even more information so that they might repent and come to faith. Well, I was thinking about this and how people often settle for less when they can have the best. I thought about how this has happened over and over again in the Bible and how we never seem to learn. Adam and Eve settled for less when they could have had the best. They had the perfect relationship with God in the Garden of Eden, but they willingly traded that intimate relationship for their sinful desires. They gambled and they took a chance. They decided to disobey God just in case the serpent might be telling them the truth. And so they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know, we've had trouble ever since. Adam and Eve settled for less. And then we have one of the most fascinating characters in the Bible. And that man's name is Judas. His name is infamous. In Germany, it's illegal to name your son Judas. His name is synonymous with treachery, deception, and betrayal. Judas was in the perfect place. He was one of Jesus' chosen disciples. He got up each day and experienced God. The Lord spent quality time with Judas. But Judas willingly went out and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas settled for less when he could have had the best. I think about a man we don't hear much about, a man named Demas. And at the end of Paul's ministry, Paul sits in a prison cell and he writes to his young friend Timothy and he says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." What a heartbreaking story. Demas settled for less when he could have had the best. But you know, before we get too hard on Adam and Judas and Demas, we also at many times settle for less when we could have the best. And so we've seen here about who the book was written to, but we're not really sure who wrote the book. Now, there's many suggestions. Some believe it is the Apostle Paul. Others believe it is Apollos. Some believe Peter wrote it, and others Luke. Some also believe that Barnabas wrote it, or Aquila and Priscilla. Some say Silas wrote it. Others say Philip has wrote it. Others say Clement of Rome has wrote it. Well, no one really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. The main thing to remember in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed. Therefore, the true author of Hebrews is the Holy Spirit. Another interesting point, there's no reference to Gentiles in this book. And so one of the difficulties in the early church was that most of them were trying to mesh Jews and Gentiles into one body. Well, this was very difficult because there were so many differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. Different traditions, different cultures, different religious backgrounds. And there's no record of there ever being a problem in this church between Jews and Gentiles, which tells us that either this was strictly a Jewish sect or there just wasn't any Gentile conflict. Now, that doesn't seem very likely because, you know, with people come many problems. And so this is probably a strictly Jewish sect. And so within the church, the writer is addressing persecuted, suffering Hebrews. Now, some of these persecuted, suffering Hebrews were believers. Others were unbelievers. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals to all of them the merits of Christ in this new covenant. Well, let's talk a moment about the where. Where are these Hebrews that he's writing? Well, here again, we don't really know where. We don't know their location. Some places suggested by the scholars have included Alexandria, Antioch, Bithynia, Pontus, Caesarea, Colossae, Corinth, Cyprus, Ephesus, Egypt, Greece, Italy, and even Samaria. Well, regardless of where they were, we know that someone reached this Jewish community with the gospel. And by the time the letter is written, within this Jewish community, there was both believers and non-believers. Now, there was a big difference between these particular Jews and the Jerusalem Jews or the Galilean Jews. Well, the Lord was well known in Jerusalem. He was also well known up there north in his great Galilean ministry, so he was well known up around that Sea of Galilee. But Hebrews was written to those who had never seen the Lord. What they knew about the Lord, they had received from others. And so we're not really sure about the where. And then we have the when. We're also not completely sure when this was written. We know it was written sometime, of course, after Christ's ascension, and was probably written before the destruction of the temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and if it was written after 70 AD, I think the writer would have probably mentioned that monumental event, the temple destruction. So scholars believe it was written somewhere between 30 and 70 AD, but probably closer to the 70 AD date, maybe even around 67-69 AD, somewhere in that time frame. Well, it would have taken a little bit of time to evangelize this Hebrew sect, and that's why we kind of look at a later date. Of course, also we know that Timothy had been released from prison. We see that over in Hebrews 13:23. And we also see that persecution was becoming more and more severe. Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 39 shows us that. Also Hebrews 12:4 and Hebrews 13:3. And so it is probably a later date. Well, the book of Hebrews is sort of a presentation. The presentation that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the author of the new covenant, and this covenant is far greater than the old one. The old covenant wasn't wrong. It was just incomplete. And so Christ completes the old and makes everything better. He's better than the Old Testament prophets. He's better than the Old Testament rituals. He's better than the Old Testament institutions. He's better than the Old Testament sacrifices. He's better than everyone and everything. Jesus is better. Also, Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He is better than Joshua and Aaron and the priesthood and the old covenant. His testimony is better. He is better. You see, the system had been put in place. To the Jews, it had always been a dangerous thing to approach God. The Lord said in Exodus 33:20, "No man shall see my face and live." But on that day of atonement, Yom Kippur, once a year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer a sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people. Well, the priest didn't hang out in the Holy of Holies. He did what he had to do, and then he got out of there. And so the problem with the old covenant was there was no nearness to God. So God made a covenant between himself and Israel. I will be your God, and you will be my people. And so the nation of Israel would have access to God if they obeyed the Lord. But if they disobeyed, their sin would become a barrier between them and God. And so sin was a barrier, and they continually sinned. Therefore, their access to God was continually being interrupted. Now, to help with this, God starts a system of sacrifice, and the Levitical priesthood is established. The priesthood was supposed to eliminate that barrier between man and God. And so the sacrifices began hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. They made sacrifices to God. And to make things even worse, the ones making the sacrifice, the very priests themselves, they also were sinners. So the priests had sinned. They had to go through these multiple steps to make sacrifices for their own sins, because their sin was also a barrier between themselves and God. And so the barrier was continually going up and coming down. Well, the sacrifice system was this big, cumbersome system, causing man to be desperate. They desperately needed a holy high priest. Only Jesus can do that. They desperately needed a perfect sacrifice. Only Jesus can do that. And they desperately needed someone to take their sins away. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus is better. And so the Holy Spirit is working in this book. And he's telling the one who's born again, be confident in the life of Christ and in the sacrifice of Christ. And to those who only believe intellectually, he's saying, I'm glad you're convinced that Jesus is the Christ, but now you must receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. And to the unbeliever, the Holy Spirit is saying, take a look and you can plainly see Jesus is much better. Now, this wasn't easy for the Jews. They had to accept the superiority of this new covenant, which means they had to forsake the old covenant. Well, another major problem that they were having was that temple. You see, the temple was still there. Matthew 27 tells us that the moment Jesus gave up his spirit, the temple veil ripped from top to bottom. Obviously, they sewed it back up and continued another 40 years. Well, the priests were still making their sacrifices hour by hour, day by day, and so forth. Another major problem was persecution. The high priest Ananias banished the Jewish Christians from the temple. Now, this was a big change for them. They couldn't go to the altar. They couldn't go to the sacrifices. They couldn't talk to the priests. They couldn't be clean. And in the Jewish world, they were viewed as worse than Gentiles. Now, those of you who have come from different religious backgrounds, you've experienced some of what these Jewish Christians have gone through. I know one of the problems in the Philippines is when people leave the Catholic Church. The Catholics threaten them, the Catholic leadership, that they can no longer be buried in their cemeteries. Well, it's a big deal for them because they can no longer be buried next to grandpa and grandma. And I used to tell the people we ministered to in the Philippines, don't worry about where your body is going to be buried. Instead, worry about your soul. Well, many people worry about their body and seem less concerned about their soul. Well, throughout the book of Hebrews, he speaks to these Christians who had lost so much. And he tells them, don't worry about what you've lost, because in reality, you're not losing anything, because Jesus is better. You're gaining. You're gaining something far, far better in the Lord. Well, the Hebrew Christians had started looking at things all wrong. And it was true. They did lose access to the earthly temple. But they had gained a heavenly access to the temple of Christ. And it was true, they lost their earthly priesthood, but they had gained the heavenly priesthood of Christ. And it's true, they lost their daily sacrifices, but they had gained the final sacrifice of Christ. The book of Hebrews emphatically states that everything about this new covenant is better. A better temple, a better testament, a better promise, a better sacrifice, a better priesthood, a better country, a better resurrection. Everything about this new covenant is new and better. And since everything is new and better, we no longer need the old. Well, Hebrews 8:1 summarizes the entire book. It says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is seated on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. That, my friends, is the summation. Jesus is so much better. Why would you go back to the old? Well, I'll close with this. This is just the introduction today. But really, we have the same three types of people today. You have those who are actual believers. And these believers have committed their life to Christ. And many times these believers have even received great persecution from family, from friends, different associates, because maybe they left some old religious system. Maybe they left something that was not correct, biblically speaking. And they entered into this new covenant, this new thing with Christ. They became born again. And now they are being persecuted for it. And I believe the Holy Spirit would say to you today, be encouraged. No matter the persecution, Jesus is better. Well, there's a second group. And those are those who attend church services, and you hear the good things coming from the pulpit, and you're amazed at the worship that is presented to Almighty God. But you've never really committed your life to Jesus Christ. You've heard the messages. It sounds pretty good. It sounds like it is a great possibility that this thing is true, and it is probable that it's true. But you have never committed your life to Him. Well, belief without commitment is not going to help you. The book of James says in James 2:19 that even the devils believe. And it even invokes an emotion in the devils because it says they also tremble. But believing and trembling is not going to save you. You need to actually receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. There's many in the church today that are in that predicament. I say to you today, do not delay. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. And lastly, you have those who have checked things out. You've heard the Word of God, but you're just not convinced. And there are a lot of people like that. In this Bible times, we believe that also these Hebrews, there were many of them that refused to even hear of such a thing as that Christ had come and that He had been crucified by the Jewish people. They completely rejected it as heresy. Well, the Holy Spirit is still reaching out to those of you, giving you the Word of God, whether it be on the radio or during the church services or television, whatever the case might be, through books and through His Word, He is trying to get His message of salvation out to you. The Holy Spirit is very, very generous. And so I ask you today to consider what we've been talking about. Jesus is better, and maybe it's time for you to quit denying Him and to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life. And you can do that by putting your faith in Him. He's better than anything this world can offer. And so you also need to stop settling for less when you can have the best. Well, epistles normally start with a salutation. But next week we won't discuss the salutation because in the book of Hebrews there is no salutation. The writer gets right down to business. So next week we'll do the same thing. We'll just get right into the Word and get down to business. And we will look at those verses at the beginning of Hebrews. Well, until next week, may God richly bless you. Amen.